Okay, Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5, and in particular, verse 2 is the text for tonight, which is, "Forget not all his benefits." Now, by way of introduction, due to the catastrophic effects of the fall, we humans are forgetful creatures, especially when we are preoccupied or when things are going wrong in our lives and things are getting turned upside down. In fact, during those times, we might be tempted to lash out those who are closest to us. And very occasionally, when things are going really bad, we may even get angry enough to lash out at our most gracious and heavenly Father and say, "Why is this happening to me? Why are things going wrong?" And I guess our recent study in the book of Ruth, which we're doing in the Bible studies of the evening, has highlighted this case of Naomi. She was very bitter towards God, as you may remember, because they moved from their home to another land looking for food, and terrible things happened to that family at that time. Her sons got married, and then her husband and then her two sons died, and then she was quite bitter, and in fact to the point where she wanted to change her name from Naomi, which I believe means sweet, to Mara, meaning bitter. She felt really upset about things that had happened, and one could understand that if such things happened to you. So she was dwelling on these things that had happened to her, and maybe she'd forgotten all the good things that God had done for her during her life. She had forgotten, so this is a portion of scripture that I believe can be of great help to us when we're tempted to despair and forget the many benefits that God has done for us. May even be tempted, some people, when things are going bad, may even be tempted to even throw their faith away because they get so down and things get so black for them that they just think, "That's it, I've had enough." And these things we've seen even in this congregation where people have been amongst us and met Sunday by Sunday, and then all of a sudden they don't come anymore, and we find out that they've not only not coming here, they're not going anywhere, and their faith is, you know, what was it? I don't know. But they've, you know, turned their back on God and quite upset about things. So I felt that this was something that was good for us to dwell on. Forget not all his benefits. Because as Charles Spurgeon said, due to our fallen nature, we often remember the dross of this world, but we forget the priceless treasures that we have received from the hand of God. And how true that is. How much trivia do we keep stored up here? Watch a TV quiz show and you answer all these questions and you think, how do I know all these things? And yet so often we find it difficult to learn scripture. We find it difficult to recall the things that God has done for us. And it's amazing how our brains work, that we can remember all sorts of things about events that have happened. You know, if we have a hobby or we have a particular interest, we can talk on them for hours. But when it comes to remembering what God has done for us and how he works in and through our lives, we often find we're difficult to articulate these things. And yet so often we can talk about other things, worldly things, quite easily. Our favourite sports, for instance, or whatever. And so I felt it was good to remind ourselves of the things that God has done. Because in this Psalm 103, he's been very kind in that he's actually said, "Forget not the benefits," and then he lists them in the next two or three verses. And so I propose that tonight we'll have a look at some of those things to, A, when you're tempted to throw things in, you might want to come back to this psalm and say, well, what are the benefits you've received? And then we can just go through there and we'll talk about some of these benefits and about how they relate to us in our life today. In fact, this portion of scripture that we've just looked at is often called a chain of grace. Firstly, our sins are forgiven. Secondly, the power of sin is subdued in our lives. And as a result of the penalty of this penalty of sin being averted, our lives are changed, we are sanctified, and that we are able to have a new way of living that we didn't have before we were forgiven our sins. And then ultimately, we will be glorified in heaven. So it's like a chain of events that happened. And it's similar to the ones that we find in Romans chapter 8, where there's the chain of grace that you may have come across in the before. So let us delve into this helpful psalm, and it commences with a call to worship in verses 1 and the first part. Let's read that. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, we're told. So three times we're directed to praise the Lord. So I would think that obviously it's quite an important thing for us to do, is to praise the Lord. If the King David, who wrote this psalm, felt it was necessary to repeat it three times in such a short space of scripture. And it is always a good thing to worship the Lord when we're feeling down spiritually, even though we may not feel like it at the time. In fact, it might be the very last thing we feel like doing when we're down. But in Psalm 73, 16 and 17, the psalmist, King David, was perplexed and downcast and doubting his God. And yes, even the great King David was depressed. He was in a bad way, but still he went to the sanctuary to worship despite his depressed mood. And this is always a good thing to do, and it will be a fillip for your faith. It will give you a pick-me-up. And I think we can all testify to that fact. Just recently, we had an incident in my family where on a Sunday morning, I felt quite upset. And I thought, you know, I just don't feel like going to church, but my wife said, no, we really need to go. And as it turned out, the sermon was just very appropriate for what I needed, and the worship too was very uplifting. And so it's a wrong thing to do sometimes to keep away from church because you're feeling down. Because often the Lord will meet your need there when you come if you are feeling that you're in a depressed state. It can be very good to come. And we have the scriptural encouragement to do that from Psalm 73, 16 and 17, where we're told that David, who was depressed, he went and worshipped, and then he could see things more clearly. He could see things from a scriptural point of view because he went to the temple and worshipped. And so worship can be an uplifting experience that can nourish and heal our souls. And Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who has some very useful books on this subject, there's two that I've brought tonight if anybody would like to read them. There's Faith on Trial, which is an exposition of Psalm 73, which I've personally found very encouraging. And then there is the masterpiece that he wrote called Spiritual Depression. These are two books that are very well worth reading and can be of great encouragement to people who may be suffering with things such as depression and that sort of thing. So Christians do get depressed, despite what some well-meaning people may say. Many of the Psalms bear witness to the fact that King David was depressed and that he had issues that caused him to doubt and to wonder why things were happening. And so it's not true to say that Christians don't get depressed. And we think of such people as William Cooper and the famous author C.S. Lewis, to name but three people who suffered with depression in their lives. And so it's okay to acknowledge our depression, but it's better by far to do something about it and not allow it to drown us as much as we can. We do need to take steps to work through these things. And it's not enough for some people to say, just pray and things will get better. You need to work through these issues with the help that's available. So one thing we should note is that this worship that we're encouraged to do in Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2, it wasn't a superficial worship. It wasn't a light-hearted chorus singing jolly get-together. It was a total offering of praise from the very depths of the psalmist's heart. It was truly a sacrifice of praise. When one is cast down or laid low through the circumstances of life, that is when we sometimes can really worship God from our inmost beings, because secondary issues get pushed aside and we see things a little bit more clearly when things are not perhaps going our way. So it can be a real help to us to worship God when things aren't necessarily going our own way. Furthermore, that when we come to the house of God, sometimes we should come in a more fitting manner rather than being so frivolous and a little bit flippant. We should be more thoughtful and less chatty. And King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes reminds us of some of the things to consider when we come to worship. In Ecclesiastes 5, verses 1 and 2, he tells us, "Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few." I think that's good advice sometimes. We so often talk too much and don't listen. So let our words be few and let us be more reverent as we approach God's house to come and worship. And then we can worship him from the depths of our heart. The words we've just read from Ecclesiastes 5 are sobering words that we should all take notice of when we come to church on the Lord's Day. And then perhaps our worship might be more acceptable if we observe these simple instructions. So let us not be flippant or casual or in our attitude towards worship. Remember just who it is we are approaching with our sacrifice of praise. Bear in mind what we heard this morning about the prophet Isaiah from Pastor Keith Morris. He went to the temple and he had that vision of God, which changed him dramatically. So much worship nowadays is painfully superficial and sometimes can be a little bit embarrassing. But having worship, what should we do next? The latter part of verse 2 in our text for today tells us not to forget not all his benefits. And this is something that we need to do on a regular basis, not just when we're spiritually depressed. As mentioned earlier, we do forget them as we travel through life. Other things get in the way. We become preoccupied with our education, with our careers, with our families, and the grand schemes that we cook up in our minds about what we want to do. So often we forget what is really important in our life. So if we remember these things, forget not all his benefits, it can be a help us to build up our faith. It can be a remedy to our spiritual maladies that we have. And if you remember, the Israelites were urged to build stone cairns as a reminder of God's goodness to them in the past. We read of these in the book of Joshua, in chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Why were they told to build these stone cairns? It was because God knows that we're dust and that we're prone to forget him and his dealings with us. And if we're honest with ourselves, we would readily agree with this statement. So what exactly should we not forget? Just what are these manifold benefits that we have received freely from the hand of God? Well, in the next few verses, we have them spelt out for us, as I mentioned earlier. God is good to us. He supplies all that we need in every situation. And here he tells us that the benefits we receive from him are: he forgives us all our sins, he heals all our diseases, he redeems your life from the pit, he crowns your life with love and compassion, he satisfies your desires with good things, and youth is renewed like the eagles. So we have six solid, tangible, easy to remember benefits we have received from the hand of God. Benefits that each of us have received if we call ourselves Christians and claim to belong to this Lord of glory. So moving on, let's have a look at benefit number one. He forgives all our sins. Now, it says in here that in the NIV, who forgives all your sins. Other verses it says ours, but I prefer this one. It says yours, because it makes it personal about the sins. Our sins have been forgiven. And I trust that's true of all of us here tonight, that our sins have been forgiven. Now, this is a massive benefit of immense value to all who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And rightly, it is benefit number one. It's the first benefit that is brought to our attention. Of all of the benefits we've received, this is the best to have possession of. To the unbeliever, though, this is of no value to them. It doesn't make any sense to them. It's worthless. They have no comprehension of what it means to have your sins forgiven. And why is that? It's because spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And because they are spiritually dead, they're not able to discern the value of this particular blessing that God has inferred upon people that are his people. And so is it any wonder that they don't see the value of coming to church and things like that? They need to be spiritually made alive. They must be born again, so to speak. But when the depressed believer comes to his senses, remembers that all his sins are forgiven, then that should give him great joy if he experiences that. He remembers he is safe from the wrath that is to come. And this is a benefit of infinite worth because he is safe for all eternity. Now, you may well ask who it is that has saved us. Well, it is none other than the Lord God himself through his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross to save us from the penalty of our sins, which is eternal death. We have not been treated as our sins deserve. Further on in Psalm 103, we read in verses 10 to 12, we read this: he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the west is from the east, So far has he removed our transgressions from us. What a wonderful piece of scripture that is, and how encouraging that is for us to know that we have not been treated as our sins deserve, that our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. So that is a great benefit, I'm sure you would agree, that we have received from his hand. But so what are some of the results of having received this benefit? Because all our sins have been forgiven, we are saved from the penalty. We have been given eternal life, we're accepted by God in the beloved, and we are adopted into his family. We are heirs of salvation, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and we gain a whole new family, who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. How this should lift us up and make us rejoice. There is no greater blessing we can receive from the hand of God than knowing that our sins have been forgiven. Moving on to benefit number two, he heals all our diseases. This, I suggest, includes both our physical and spiritual diseases. In Psalm 53, verse 5, this is what we read. By his stripes we are healed. What does this mean? In a spiritual sense, we are born sin sick. Our very being is tainted by the sin we inherited from our forefather Adam. It is called the doctrine of original sin. It means even our very best thoughts and actions are tainted by sin. Now the prophet Isaiah says that even our very best works are as filthy rags. For this sickness, there is only one remedy and only one physician that can cure us. Acts 4:12, which is one of my favourite portions of scripture, tells us that Jesus Christ is the great physician, and him crucified is the only cure for sin. There is no other name under heaven by which we may be saved. This is more than a superficial healing. Indeed, the very dead are raised to life. They are born again of the Spirit of God. Those who were spiritually dead are raised to new life. And if we have a look at, if you want to do, you could turn to John 3, verses 1 to 8, which is where, again, another one of my favourite pieces of scripture, where the Pharisee Nicodemus visits Jesus at night and he learns from Jesus the absolute necessity of being born again and how the spiritually dead are given new life by God the Holy Spirit. This is indeed a miracle of grace, and this is the ultimate healing in that we are healed from our spiritual sickness. We are made from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. But I say that's not the whole picture, as wonderful as it may be, because I believe that God does heal our physical illnesses too. During his earthly ministry, Jesus healed many, many people. He healed all types of diseases. He healed them sometimes instantaneously. Sometimes he healed them by various steps. Sometimes he just spoke, and other times he used means, such as mixing saliva and mud and making people see. He even raised people from the dead. And the famous one is Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, that story in John 11. Likewise, God today can heal many people in many diverse ways by the use of means such as our body's own ability to heal itself. Often, you know, we have a cold and no matter what we take, the body heals itself. And we cut ourselves and the body heals. God has given us the ability to heal itself. Other means we have for healing is by medicine and surgery. God heals today by people going to the doctor and being given medicine and having an operation and things like that. And there's even times when we believe that God can, through his sovereign grace, heal people through the Holy Spirit as well. And that's why we're told to pray for the sick, as commanded in James 5. Where the elders are asked to go to somebody and to pray and to anoint them with oil and see what happens. We've all been recipients of this great benefit in our lives. We should be very grateful that we have bodies that heal ourselves and that we have doctors and hospitals that we can go to. But please remember that God does not promise to heal all our diseases here on earth. We will be subject to diseases and aging as time goes by. And we will eventually succumb to a fatal illness or accident or something like that. I'm not saying that God's going to heal us all the time, but God does heal us in many diverse ways. But ultimately, unless he comes again, we will die and we will go on to cross over to the other side, to cross the Jordan and go to to live with the Lord forever. So please be aware of the claims that some people have that they're able to heal all illnesses at will. We've seen many false miracles that have been performed by charlatans on the television and in movies and things like that. And history has shown many of these to be false, but we do believe that God does choose to heal people as well in a sovereign manner. But we shouldn't take it that we're told that he heals all our diseases, that it means he'll heal everybody, because ultimately we do have to move on. Right, benefit number three. He redeems our life from the pit. Again, this is another great benefit that all who are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ has received. So what is the ultimate fate of all those that die outside of Christ, you might ask? Well, hell, Hades, or the pit. These are all synonyms for the same destination. An awful and dreadful fate for many, many people. There may even be some of our family and friends and acquaintances. Would that we had a more perfect understanding of the horrors of the pit. It would maybe stimulate us to make greater efforts to evangelize our lost family and friends. I'm reminded of the story that we read in Luke 16, where Jesus tells the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and it describes the utter contrast of heaven and hell. But to those that believe, that belong to Jesus, their fate is vastly different. Not the pit, but paradise. Somewhere so wonderful that the Apostle Paul was lost for words to describe the sneak peek he had been given of heaven in 2 Corinthians 12:2. Please note the word redeems in our text for tonight. It redeems our life from the pit. This implies that by birth we were heading for the pit, but because Jesus Christ has redeemed us by the shedding of his blood upon the cross, we are no longer bound for hell. We are bound for a far better destiny. Now, for many folks today, they have a taste of the pit here on earth. Their life is a living hell with many foretastes of the pit, such as separation from God, indulging in ungodly behaviour in its many forms that we see in our present society today. How blessed we are to have the prospect of heaven before us. And remember that for us, the best is yet to come for those that love the Lord. What a comfort that is to us as we face the many trials of our life today. For the ungodly, bear this in mind, this life is as good as it gets for them. And what an appalling prospect that would be if this was the best we could expect. Moving on to the fourth benefit we have in our text for tonight, in the latter part of verse 4, we have God crowns us with love and compassion. You could ask the question, what by nature do we deserve from the hand of God? And I answer, by birth, we are his enemies. We hated him. We fled from his presence because we loved the darkness and wanted to hide from the light that he shone into our life. We would curse him and express our ingratitude towards him for all that he's done. Now I ask you the question, how would you react to someone who behaved like that to you? Would you shower them with love and compassion upon your enemies? To those that hated you and ran away from you despite your best efforts to bless them? How do we react to people who are so ungrateful towards us? Because by nature, our first instinct would be to return light for light. But not so with our merciful God. He seeks out the lost, his enemies, and does good to them. And he showers them with love and blessings. In fact, he is able to love the unlovely, which we find difficult to do. Romans 5:10 tells us of this fact. And surely, the ultimate expression is John 3:16, which we all know. It is the ultimate expression of his divine love. But that's not all. He also crowns us with great compassion. And who is he? He crowns people like us, ratbags like us, who so often are so ungrateful for what he's done for us. We've been adopted into a royal household, and as a consequence, we have received a crown. And what a great privilege that is. What a tremendous honour. A pauper becomes a prince. This is the measure of the magnitude of the change that has happened in our life and in our circumstances. He forgives all our sins over and over again, even 77 times 7, we're told in Matthew 18:22. Why does he do that? Because he knows we are infirm. He knows we are but dust. He himself is full of compassion and mercy. James 5:11 tells us the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. And don't we need that every day? Should we not be full of compassion and mercy to those around us? If we have received love and compassion from the hand of God, we should give the same to our fellow man out of gratitude to God for what he has done for us. And I urge you to remember the parable that Jesus told of the ungrateful servant in Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. If you remember, the servant was forgiven much by his master, even though he owed so much money, he was not able to pay it back, and he was forgiven. And what did he do? He immediately went out from the presence of his master, found one of his fellow servants that owed him a small amount of money, and demanded it from him. And he didn't show any mercy or compassion to him. And when the master heard this, he was not very pleased at all. And he got this ungrateful servant and made him pay to the uttermost. That reminds us of the fact that we should be show more compassion and mercy to those around us, because we have received much from him. Benefit number 5, moving on to verse 5. He satisfies our desires with good things. Now, who can say, sitting here in WA in the year 2017, that we have not received good things? In a material sense, we here lack for nothing. And I believe we are among some of the most fortunate people who have ever lived upon the face of this earth. If we compare ourselves to those around, other countries around in the world today, we are never hungry. We are never without shelter. We are safe and secure in our homes. We are blessed with a benign climate, and we live at peace with our neighbours. But that's just the beginning. That's just the material sense in which we've been blessed. Because in a spiritual sense, we've had our spiritual desires satisfied equally abundantly. What are your spiritual desires? To know Christ more? To love your neighbour more? To see the lost saved? To be able to serve him more? These are the desires that we should have. And if we are honest about it and we sort of sincerely want to serve God, then he will bless us with these desires. He will enable us to serve each other better, to love our neighbour more, and to know Christ more. We just want to have the will, the desire to do it. So I believe the Lord has blessed us by meeting these desires, and he wants to continue blessing us. But so often our appetite for these things is dulled by our love for the world. We get choked by the worries and cares and desires of material things that sometimes that maybe our desire to be spiritually enriched are not as great as they should be. However, we do know that we have received many blessings from his hand when we remember the manifold answers to prayer that we have seen in this church. Let us not forget that we have been blessed with a faithful minister and godly elders and deacons with this church in years gone by. And I pray that that would continue, that he would continue to bless this church with such gifts. And finally, benefit number 6. Our youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, how appropriate is this image for us today, as we've been talking about people that have been downcast, that are struggling with their faith and with the things that are happening in life? How would we like to have our youth renewed like the eagles? We've been considering the tired, exhausted, depressed Christian who may well be tempted to doubt God and to give it all away. He has forgotten all of the benefits that God has showered upon him, and they are in need of their strength and of their youth, in inverted commas, to be renewed. They may be downcast and depressed. And this benefit, I believe, is the direct result of the first 5 benefits doing their work in our lives. The believer is renewed, is infused with strength such that they soar like an eagle despite their earthbound feelings. Isaiah 40, verse 31, is a great piece of scripture. And I suggest that we have a look at that now. Isaiah 40, 31. Isaiah 40, 31 tells us, "For those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." So don't be like those who have no time for God. Do not be like the lost. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Remember that today is the day of salvation, and do not harden your heart to his word. His patience towards you will not last forever. I pray that today the Lord will give you ears to hear the invitation that he extends to you. Come to the Saviour and have your sins forgiven. Receive new life in him. And do not presume upon his grace, for you may never have another opportunity to respond to his gracious offer, because none of us are guaranteed a tomorrow. So in conclusion, I ask you, are you soaring today like an eagle, or are you scurrying along the ground like a quail? So when you may be tired, you may be depressed or tempted to give up on God because life is getting you down, remember to turn to this amazing piece of scripture that we've just read. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. We are first to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, then remember all the benefits that you have received from his loving hand. And if you can't bring any to mind, what are they? He forgives all our sins. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from the pit. He crowns you with love and compassion, and he satisfies you with good things. And he renews your youth like the eagle. You may not remember them all from time to time, but I pray that you will remember where you can find them in the first five verses of Psalm 103, and that you may turn to them often to remind yourself of his graciousness towards you, because he has indeed blessed us with many things, and we need to remember that, especially when times are tough and things are not going our way. Remember these blessings. Forget them not. Amen.